Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We're back. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. And man, it's good to be here with you guys this morning. I'm going to go ahead and start the show by kissing our beloved, Rally Roach. You did it again for us last night. This team is unbelievable. Can't wait to talk about it, break it all down. A lot of interesting things happened around baseball last night, but we get our heads right in the first segment of the day. And we call it foreplay. Just a way for us to get loose. I'll tell you right now, I'm dragging ass, and I don't really know why. I have a theory, but got plenty of sleep, you know, went to bed at a decent time, slept really well. I think I slept too well. I'm dragging ass this morning, so I'm trying to summon something out of my belly to get it going, and it's just been a long week already, man, but a good week indeed. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Have these 6:40 starts felt like 10:40 starts after the East Coast trip.
Yeah, I said that the other day before you got back. Okay. It was like it feels late, and I get got to get a lot done before.
I mean, it wasn't anything crazy last night. I think like the post game show ended at like 9:30.
Yeah, well,
and we'll talk about that.
The post game show is kind of part of the reason that I wasn't able to fall right asleep. And yes. That's kind of exactly right, exactly why.
Yeah.
And so I was up to like 10:15, which is not that bad, but I woke up to the alarm this morning. And that never happens, ever. I'm like, 4:12. And I'm like, I had no idea where I was. It was crazy. To my left is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, Benjamin Higgins. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning, Woodsy. Good morning, Paul. Missed you yesterday.
We did miss you, Paulie.
Yep. I missed you guys.
We had a great time. Paulie has a bum ankle and hurt it playing basketball. And we had originally, we were scheduled to play golf with Adam Jones. It was going to be the four of us. And Paulie had already said, I want to hang out with AJ's the best. I want to hang out with AJ. I probably won't hit many shots. I'll just kind of hang, and maybe if it feels good, I'll swing a little bit, putt a little bit, whatever.
I'll pay. I'll ride along.
Yeah, you'll ride along.
No problem, but that's not a smart idea.
It's not fun. Like, a bum ankle, too, is one of those. There's a couple of different things you're not going to be able to get your way through a round of golf with. You know, when my wrists were really hurt, I would hit the ball and the club would fall out of my hands. It's just not fun. So we talked to our buddies, Matt Janella and John Ashworth, who owns and runs Goat Hill. And we talked to them, and they said, we'd love to play with you guys. Neither of them had ever played Encinitas Ranch.
I think Ash had.
Oh, Ash had.
It had been a while.
It had been a long time.
But Janella had never even played Encinitas Ranch.
So we go out to Encinitas Ranch yesterday, and it's this dude on my left here, Benjamin. Now, I'm not a good golfer. I'm like a 15 handicap. Maybe more. And Ben says, no, we'll play you guys straight up. And I'm like, why would you play straight up? That's like going to a casino, and they're like, yeah, I'll give you $5,000 credit. And you're like, I don't want it. I'm good. I'll win plenty. I'm like, what are you doing? Take the money. Take the credit that the casino is giving you, and let's go out and win some more money.
They don't get strokes on the PGA Tour. When you're playing real golf, you're playing straight up.
I'm not on. There's a reason there are handicaps.
I trusted you.
Oh,
I knew you'd come through. Mm. Yeah, John's like a 3, I think, and Maddie's like an 8. So, and I'm like a 5.
And I'm a 15.
15. So we were definitely at a bit of a disadvantage, but I felt confident in your abilities, in my abilities, to take them on.
Oh, my God, man. Well, so we had
how'd that go?
We had our match, and it was actually really fun for a while. And we played straight up for a while, but something happened that I've got to share. I have to share this with the audience. And you know what it is. We had played 6 holes. 6. And as Ben has been known to do from time to time, he gets very into the round, right? And I feel like you put your Jim Nance hat on and you start just calling the action. If this show goes south, literally, go quit TV, quit, and this doesn't work. Go to the Golf Network and be like, I'll start at the bottom. Put me.
You act as though I haven't thought about that. Yeah.
Put me. I'll call the amateur tournament in Wichita. Give me the mic. There's no one better than me at this. This dude starts commentating. In fact, I'm on his team. I'm about to hit a drive. He's still commentating. I shank my drive and I go, God, Ben.
Now, it's not like. He's not just sitting off to the side and he's like, Stephen Woods for
No.
Like, he's not
do that.
Calling the match, but...
It's like this how would you describe
it? Yeah,
it's
more of a big picture overview of everything that's going on.
We've talked about in the past how, you know, you have... Remember we did like 2 days worth of shows on the internal monologue?
The internal monologue.
Ben has an external monologue.
Yeah, I'm laying out the, you know, like the flyover of each hole because Matt hasn't played it. So I'm like describing, okay, here's what you're facing here. Coming up on the seventh hole, you've got a blind tee shot right over the top of the hill where you're going to want to lay it up to about 215 yards.
Like,
that'll leave
like
you with about a good 8-7 iron into a downhill green on the second shot. And I just like to make sure that everyone knows where we're at. I feel like I'm trying to be helpful. Was I a little too helpful and may have impacted that one swing of yours? Fine. Yes, I did. I apologize.
Now, there's Matt Janella said something that I wish. So that's why I didn't sleep well. I sat up all night thinking about how mad I am at myself for not coming up with this nickname. When I shanked my drive, Matt Janella called Ben Scully, and I almost died. I was convulsing with laughter, and I go, you have got to be kidding me.
You know, he did a lot of golf announcing.
Did he?
As well, outside
of that.
Baseball season, yeah, he called some of the like the Grand Slam of golf and some
no
of those
idea.
Other big events. Yeah,
well,
absolutely,
listen,
he was a golf announcer.
It's Vin Scully. Who, again, you would have listened to him read the encyclopedia. It wouldn't have mattered. He was a legend, certainly. And I had no idea he called golf. I bet he was phenomenal.
He was.
Shout out to his family.
Shout out to his family.
He was.
But
outstanding.
When Matt Janella goes, hey, all right, Ben Scully. I was like, well, that's it for me. And I go, Matty, that's one of the greatest lines I've ever heard. So I texted Pauly that immediately. And I said, Pauly, get to work. Immediately. Ben has no idea that I even did this. I go, this is what just happened. I almost crapped my pants from laughing. Get to work. All Paulie wrote back was, on it. And it was so good. So I haven't heard this. I have no idea. We live in a brave new world of artificial intelligence. And ladies and gentlemen, here he is.
Hi, this is Ben Scully. It's time to play some golf.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Did you cross our voices together?
Oh, no,
how did
no,
that work?
No.
I mean, it's kind
you know,
of
a magician never reveals his secrets, Ben.
Hi, this is Ben Scully. It's time to play some golf.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Encinitas Ranch for today's four-ball match between Stephen Woods and Ben Higgins versus John Ashworth and Matt Janella.
Hi, this is Ben Scully. It's time for Ben and Woods.
Brought to you by Farmer John.
I ended up taking it another step further,
yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, our favorite thing Ben... And his golf monologue. And take us back to that round that you played 2.5 months ago.
Yeah.
And go through, how was the first hole for you? And give us a shot-by-shot recap.
This is identical.
So I asked Ben Scully about his first hole yesterday at Encinitas Ranch.
Hi, this is Ben Scully. It's time to play some golf. Yesterday, we played at Encinitas Ranch. It was a beautiful San Diego day, with highs in the upper 70s. The first hole was a par-4 dogleg right. I struck my driver pretty well, hitting it about 250 yards. That left me with about 100 yards to play with. My approach shot felt great when I hit it, but it rolled off the green. Dang it. I chipped onto the green and gave myself about a 10-foot putt. It was a left-to-right putt with the sun in my face. As soon as my putter hit the ball, I knew I was short, and this would be my first bogey of the round.
That's pretty much accurate, actually. Well done.
The dang it got me in there. I heard a, again, I heard a live one yesterday, and when I hear, I heard two. And when I hear a Ben drop live in the flesh, it's my favorite. I heard a dang it, and then I heard a yes after like I made a putt or something. It was absolutely
dang it.
Absolutely. My approach shot felt great when I hit it, but it rolled off the green. Dang it.
Dang it. My stomach hurts, bro. Ben Scully, I was like, Janella, you son of a bitch. That's the greatest. I go, how have I never thought of that?
The second hole was much better. As I pulled my 7-iron out of my Callaway bag, I very much wanted to get back to even par with a birdie. I struck a high, soaring shot into the cloudless Encinitas sky. The ball hit the green and had a perfect amount of backspin thanks to my Chrome Tour triple track ball. Why, Callaway? Simply the best. I was about 4 feet from the hole and putted out. My way to a birdie.
I'm going to pass out. Oh, Matty Janella, thank you for that.
Thank you for that.
I'll never forget it as long as I live. The line, it was just great. Matty's he's cold as ice. Cold as ice. We had a really fun day. It was a beautiful day. I played like I had one arm tied behind my back. It was I lost the time there for a little bit, but got it back on my nemesis hole. 17, where I always hit it in the water, and I stuck this thing 10 feet. We made par.
We needed it,
and we won the match. Now, I never got paid. Did you get paid, or is this like a running tab?
We got a rematch, so it's just hanging out there, because they requested a rematch, so we will wait until we're able to schedule the rematch.
All right. But I had a great time, man. We had a blast driving around and getting some time. And I was a little bummed. I missed drop off for my first grader yesterday, and well, I missed pickup as well because I was playing golf with my friends. But my first grader Bo started yesterday.
I heard you call him on the course. Yeah. And got an update. Sounded like it went pretty well.
Couldn't have gone better.
Good.
It just couldn't have gone better. And he came home. Now the funny part is, you know, he's back in school for one day. Stays up till about 7:45, 8 now, 7:05. Dude is sacked. Sucking his thumb, sacked. And I go, welcome back to the school year, baby. So put him right to bed. Everything was great. It was a great day. Always fun playing with those guys. They are just a fun group. We had a really good time, and we did win. So congratulations.
Nice
Thank
job.
You. Thank
nice
you very
job.
Much. It was a lot of fun. But Ben Scully is one of my favorite things ever. Are you? That's a good one.
That is, yeah.
That's a good one.
I had to acknowledge. Even though it was at my expense.
Yeah,
it was,
but yeah. You're like, damn it, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, does it sting more coming from Janella or me?
Janella.
Yeah. Because Janella's like, he's like the coolest. So, like, if Janella gets you, you're like, oh. He hears it from me all the time.
I hear it from you all the time.
But, like, Janella, when he gets you, you're like, damn.
That's supposed to be my safe space.
That's your safe
yeah,
space.
Yeah, now it's like, uh-oh. Now I'm in trouble.
He came up with
I chipped onto the green and gave myself about a 10-foot putt. It was a left-to-right putt with the sun in my face. As soon as my putter hit the ball, I knew I was short, and this would be my first bogey of the round.
Bogey. It's brilliant, dude.
It's not like 100%.
No, but you know what?
Pretty close.
This is radio. It's theater of the mind. So,
dang it.
That is about as good as you can get.
Dang it.
Dang it.
Dang it.
Dang it.
It's elite. Elite, man. Such a fun day. So, anyway, and then you get home. You get the dinners going, you get whatever. And then the game comes on. And here we go again. The San Diego Padres grit squad shows up once again. And then the fireworks post game. We'll have all of it for you. I can't wait to talk about all of it for you today here on Ben and Woods.
We'll set the menu when we come back. A bit of a modified Big League Wednesday. We'll explain what that means and get you ready for our midweek version of Ben and Woods. Kelly Danick's got our check of traffic. And then don't go away. Should be a really good one this morning as the Padres continue on their roll on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday morning here on Bennett Woods. Woodsy, you said you had one more thing you wanted to include in our foreplay.
I'd like to wish my mother, Marsha Woods, a very, very happy 70th birthday. Talked to her on the way in this morning.
And, a milestone.
Yeah, she's doing really good. You guys know she had the lumpectomy surgery a couple weeks ago. Had to go back in to get a couple of more things taken care of. A little bit more painful this time, but she is such a... she's so strong, man. She's always been so strong. So happy birthday, Mama. Love you very, very much.
Happy birthday.
Would not be here without you, obviously. But, like, literally and metaphorically. Like, I wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for her and her support. And she's just the best. So happy birthday, Mama. Love you very much. You're a great, great mom, great grandmother, great friend. I was talking this morning. She's got, like, 40 groups of friends that she has to, like, everybody wants to do something for. She's like, I'm kind of run down right now. I go, Ma, I get it.
Like you got the book club and the bridge group.
All the church different group church and group. All of her old friends. Her best friends are still from elementary school and high school, you know? So she's just a very special person. So happy birthday, Mama. Love you so much. And have a great, great day. Wish we were there.
All right. Outstanding. You ready for the menu for today's show? Hand it out?
Yeah, I would like to hear Ben Scully read the menu, actually, for today, since we have him here, and we're going to, abuse it as we do. So what does Ben Scully think we're going to do today on Ben?
Welcome back to Ben and Woods. It's time to set the menu for today's show. We will get to our Padres wrap-up in our next segment. After that, it's time for Take on Woods. We'll have Don't Do This at 7:20 today, and chat with our beloved Brett Boone at 8:35. Then at 9 o'clock, we will get Paulie's top stories of the morning before we turn our sights to this afternoon's series finale between the Padres and the Pirates.
There you go.
I'm feeling kind of easily replaceable
inferior.
At this point.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, when you have a chance to get Ben Scully instead of Ben Higgins, I think you take it. I mean, it's pretty good. That is pretty, pretty good.
Yeah, that's essentially the menu for today's show. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Ben Scully, for that.
The Guzzinator says, why is Ben even there? Maybe you start your staycation early, right now.
Oh, we're supposed to start it this afternoon, but maybe I just leave now and get going on staycation. If you are wondering about Adam Jones, he will join us tomorrow, Paulie said. He's doing some traveling today. I just saw his tweet on his way to Milwaukee. He wants to play a round of golf tomorrow in Milwaukee. So
why, are you going to stand them up, too? So that's cool.
But he will join us. What time is he going to be on tomorrow?
Same time. 7:30.
7:35 tomorrow. But we do have, as Ben Scully said, Brett Boone will join us at 8:35 on a Big League Wednesday. And, of course, we'll be talking a lot about Padres baseball. And I think you got to bring up right away, 18-3 in the last 21 games now. It's the best stint in franchise history again. Padres have never won 18 of 21 games, ever. And that's over 55-plus seasons of, thousands and thousands of Padres games. This is as good as it's ever gotten. And it's hard to believe that, in that many years, this is as good as it's ever gotten. You just sit down and you expect a win to happen as you're watching these games. They haven't all been blowouts. Last night wasn't one either. They've been close, but they found a way to win much more often than not since the All-Star break.
Well, what's been so encouraging is how many times have we said over the last 4 years, call it, hey, you got a stretch here where you really got to get some wins under your belt.
Make
you
know, some hay.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they don't seem to do it.
Yeah.
And while, yes, the Dodgers keep winning and the Diamondbacks keep winning. And
You're not sliding.
Right. Because we said at the end of July, hey, coming up in August, you have a lot. I mean, a lot of winnable games. Yeah, you're playing like 19 and 20 days or whatever that stretch is, but a lot of winnable games, and they have played so well.
You got to stack dubs in this part of the year. Now, again, I do see a lot of people talking still about, man, this Italian Paul did some long diatribe about, well, see, this is why it sucks that you're winning, because the Dodgers were broken, the Diamondbacks were dead and buried, and you didn't make up any ground.
It
never sucks to win. You can't do anything about what has passed. All you can control is if you win that day. And the Padres have really taken that mentality of saying, let's win today's game, find a way, scratch, claw, whatever we got to do it. Is it the most ideal way to do it? No, it's not. It's not. But it counts. Those are wins every single time. We don't complain about wins in here. And I'm very impressed. Very impressed night after night. It's a different person that steps up.
Well, while you can focus on the fact that they haven't really picked up ground the last week on the Diamondbacks or Dodgers or any ground on the Diamondbacks in the last 3 weeks because they've been just as hot. Quietly, though, now they've started to put some separation between themselves and other teams.
Correct.
And, you know, I was listening to Sammy's postgame show, and he pointed out accurately the Padres are still four games up on the Braves, who have the final wild card spot. But that's not really the number you want to pay attention to. The number you pay attention to is how far up are you on the first team out of a playoff
spot. Correct.
Because if the Braves passed you, you're still in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because they're a playoff team.
Yeah,
you only really are worried about the team that's out of the playoffs passing you. And they're now six games ahead of the New York Mets, who are the first team out. They're two games behind the Braves. Six game cushion with 41 to play is a significant margin now. Not insurmountable.
Nope.
Nothing's guaranteed. But the Padres have put themselves in a position that they simply have to play moderately decent baseball the rest of the way, and they should be comfortably into the postseason. They don't have to go on any runs, no winning streaks necessary. In fact, 500 ball probably gets it done fairly comfortably at this point.
Yeah, definitely not what they're shooting for all, but again, it is nice. This is you've built yourself up a little bit of a cushion, but you don't see them taking it easy. You know, you really don't. You don't see them being comfortable at all right now. In fact, I feel like the guys are still really intense and playing really, really hard, and that's all you can ask for from your baseball
team.
And
then on the top end, while the Dodgers are winning, the Brewers are losing, and the Padres yesterday caught the Brewers. They're now virtually tied with overall National League standings, which doesn't matter unless you catch the Dodgers and win the division, but it could factor into a first round bye in the playoffs that the Padres do get there. And how about this? Remember about 2 months ago when the Phillies were clearly the class of baseball and were running away with the National League? Padres are now just two games behind the Philadelphia Phillies, that team that was probably, I don't know, 13, 14 games clear of the Padres at one point. They're now 69 and 50. The Padres are 68 and 53. This is wide open right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely wide open. Dodgers, Phillies, Brewers, Diamondbacks, Padres.
It's wild how things have changed from, hey, man, just hang around. You know, they couldn't get above 500. It was hang around and just get into the dance.
They literally took...
Then a couple weeks ago, you know, the division's like a possibility, and now it's like you could finish with the best record in the National League.
The tractor beam, that was pulling them back to 500, smashed. They smashed it. They took it in the backyard, took a hammer to it. It's gone. I mean, and that's been really cool, and just kind of, I don't want to say sneakily, obviously, because we cover them every single day, but you look up and go, these SOBs just went 18 out of 21. Is that right?
14, 15 games above 500
it's
now?
It's just bananas. It's bananas what they've been able to do. All credit goes to those guys, man. Very, very cool.
But there's no dominant team anymore. Even in the American League, the Yankees and the Guardians and the Orioles, they're all at 70-71 wins. So the Dodgers 71-49, Guardians 71-49. Those are the best records in baseball. That's 3.5 games where the Padres are right now.
Yeah.
And early in the season, I think I read there were three or four teams that were on pace to win over 100 games. No one's on pace to win even 100 games now at this point, wow, which hasn't happened in baseball very rarely in the recent versions of Major League Baseball where you've got some of the haves and have-nots. We've seen a lot of 100-plus win seasons. We may not get a single 100-win season. In fact, we're probably not going to get one this year.
Wow. FanGraphs, for whatever weight you give them and their approach to the mathematical side of things, they've got projected wins, the Yankees and the Dodgers at about 95 wins.
That's the most in baseball
right
now.
That is the most.
So it's and that's within, by the way, that is within striking distance for the Padres if they finish the season strongly.
90 and 72.
Yeah, and that's projected. That's like, you're not going to be as hot as you are right now, but you just play a two games over 500, I think, the rest of the way gets you to 90 at this point if you're the Padres. You, wow, barely have to beat 500 to get to 90 wins now. If you keep playing close to what you're playing right now, you keep winning series, 91, 92, 93, even 95 is within reach for the San Diego Padres. So sky's the limit right now, and the World Series race, I think, is as wide open as it has been in baseball in several years.
It's pretty awesome.
I mean, there are, I want to say, 8 or 9 teams, and I don't even know which one. So we'll talk about that coming up. We'll get to our Padres wrap-up, get you Jesse's calls of yesterday's 3-0 win over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Another dominant outing from Michael King was outstanding. We'll talk about all of it coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If your supply chain demands a flexible workforce, hire with Express Employment Professionals. With contract and full-time workers from Express Employment, you get the staff you need and manage contingent labor costs. Learn more at expresspros.com. That's expresspros.com. All right, it was great. Another low-scoring game. The offense is not quite as on fire as it was last week, but the pitching has picked up the slack.
My God.
We will go through the highlights of yesterday's 3-0 win over the Pittsburgh Pirates right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres' win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
And Machado hits it in the air to center field. Bay charging in. Dives forward. Did he make the catch? It appears that he did. The throw will go into second. Profar back safely. Arise will tag and score. A sacrifice fly from Machado and a 1-0 Padre lead. 3-1 hit hard in the air to deep right center field. De La Cruz long run. Looking up. Gonna go. David Peralta. His fifth of the year, and the freight train on the tracks here at Petco Park. It's 2-0. 3-2 again. Tellez swings and misses strike three. And on pitch 10, King got him to go fishing. That is strikeout 10. 6 shutout innings for Michael King. And after 5.5, Padres lead the Pirates 2-0. Scott ready. Here's the pitch. Bart swings and misses strike three. Came back with a fastball. That'll do. Couple of Ks in a scoreless eighth inning for Tanner Scott. After 7.5, still the Padres 2 and the Pirates nothing. A 1 to Machado, hit on the ground up the middle. Cruz to his left, can't make the play. Ricocheted off his glove, goes into center. Arise scores, and the Padre lead is 3-0. Hayes will take second base. The pitch swung on, grounded up the middle. Long way to go. Bogarts on the left side of the infield has it. Off balance throw to first, is in time, and the ball game is over. For the second consecutive night, a stellar defensive play to end it. The Pirates are shut out 3-0 by King, Adam, Scott, and Suarez as the Padres have won an 8th straight series. First time they have done that since 2007, and here tomorrow afternoon they will go for the sweep.
You know, Ruben showed him to me right after his outing. 83% first pitch strikes and 100% 1-1 count strikes. That's controlling counts, and that's what allows you to throw up zeros. And, you know, he did have some light traffic, you know, in a fair amount of innings and just made a lot of quality pitches. The two double play balls were obviously huge.
Michael King is a delight to watch pitch. That's what I kept thinking last night. He is a delight to watch pitch. When he is on, and he has been really, really on as of late, Ben, he may be my favorite pitcher in the rotation to watch. Matty Waldron throwing those knuckleballs up there. Yeah, it's pretty cool, and you see him, and they're always on Pitching Ninja. But Michael King's two-seamer that starts at a left-hander's hip and ends up down the middle or on the inside corner may be my favorite pitch in baseball. His changeup was filthy. And again, he's getting those guys. They're behind. Everyone goes up there. They're 0-2, 1-2, and he's just pounding the zone. Now, he's so good, though, and effective that he's not giving up much hard contact at all either. It's the total package right now with Michael King. What a delight he is.
Yeah, some pretty amazing stats if you were watching the broadcast. And I was actually listening a lot to Jesse last night. And, oh, by the way, I did hear him incorporate his song lyrics live. We'll get to that.
I bet it was
at
phenomenal.
Some point. He nailed it last night. So looking forward to that. But they had the graphic up with Michael King, and he is among the league leaders with, like, Chris Sale, least hard contact allowed this season. And that's really been the turnaround for Michael King. His first, month and a half or so, home run dispenser. Remember,
yeah.
He gave up like 10 of them in his
10
first.
10 or 13
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, a bunch in his first handful of starts. Since then, I think he's only given up two. And really, the hard hit rate is extremely low. Even yesterday, the Pirates were getting a bunch of bleeder type hits. In fact, it created the weird situation. I was looking up at the line score after like the third inning, and the Pirates were like no runs, five hits, two errors. The Padres were one run, no hits, no errors, yeah, because of the way that first inning played out with Perez walking and then hitting Profar and then getting the error and then the sacrifice fly to score without a hit. Padres offense really wasn't doing much, but they got gifted a run. And Michael King protected it by not giving up hard contact, getting out of the jams with strikeouts. Once those guys were on the bleeders, ended up, as you heard, striking out 10. But how about that stat that Mike Schilt pointed out after the game? I knew from Jesse, they were talking about how consistently Michael King was getting the first pitch over. But that 1-1 stat blew my mind.
You know, Ruben showed it to me right after his outing. 83 pitch, 83% first pitch strikes, and 100% 1-1 count strike.
83% of the time he got ahead 0-1. But then when he was 1-1, 100% of the time that pitch was a strike. He never fell behind 2-1 to that a single batter that was 1-1.
Unreal,
yeah, I think,
man,
there was a couple 2-0s, but the 1-1 pitch was in there every time. That is such a, it's such a pivotal pitch in an at-bat, Woods. You know this. The difference between 2-1 for a batter who can then go up and really, like,
yeah,
be
hunt.
Aggressive
yeah.
and hunt versus 1-2,
nope.
Where now you're just trying to
choke
protect and trying to make some contact, and you're probably going to strike out, honestly, against Michael King. Such a huge difference. And to go 100% on the 1-1s to go to 1-2, you just don't have a lot of hope against Michael King, and that's how it played out with the Pirates, unable to score again against guy's been, I mean, fantastic. He'll be back next season, you know, knock on wood, with Dylan Cease. Really the nucleus already of a great rotation. And then hopefully you finally add, you know, Joe Musgrove's back. And Yu Darvish at some point, you know, really does seem like it could be a great rotation with guys next year as well. But, of course, we're still on this year, and got a lot of baseball left to play here. So, I mean, outstanding pitching. Again, the offense, yeah, it took a, I mean, never really totally got going, but it's...
I was so bummed in the first inning, you know. I mean,
yeah, you're hoping, you're thinking, oh, four or five runs,
oh,
here,
yeah,
here you go.
This is the blowout squad that we needed tonight, and you know, when Crony hit that ball up the middle, I went, oh, no. And as soon as it ticked off his glove, I said, all right, floodgates are about to open. And they didn't open. Manny had, I mean, again, there's a lot of hat tipping going on, but you got to tip your hat to Bay. He made a phenomenal catch in center field. That probably scores a couple if it drops. Yeah, man, they ended up with just one there. And, you know, though, I didn't feel as deflated as I thought I would after having bases loaded, nobody out, only coming away with one. Again, there is a confidence that's built in me as a fan because of how hard those guys play and how badly they want to win. So I wasn't super bummed. I was not mad. I had also just watched Michael King dominate. You know, like, I know he had a couple bleeders there, but you saw the movement. You saw how it was coming out of his hand. You saw how nasty he had the potential to be last night. I also know we have a back end of the bullpen that is currently disgusting. You know what they call it? Have you heard this? Ass.
Article Sound System.
Article Sound System is the name of the back end of the Padres. It's Adam, and then it is Scott, and then it is Suarez. A-S-S. Hmm. Now you. What do you say? What is that called? A-S-S.
Ass. Yes.
That's our back of our... And some people will say, man, our bullpen is ass. Our bullpen is literally ass, and they're amazing.
That's what you want.
That's what you want.
You're hoping for.
Yes, exactly right. So, I mean, David Peralta, incredible. I mean, just incredible. Just absolutely yanks one out, you know, and then you get the insurance run late through Manny. Manny gets a knock after a hustle play by Luis Arraez. This is they're scratching, they're clawing, they're fighting, they're dying to win baseball games. It is so fun to watch.
You could add Morejon and Estrada in there. It'd be like me ass.
Me ass is not a real word.
No. I'm just trying to add it. I want everyone to feel included.
Okay. We'll work on that.
Oh yeah, we can work on that.
Yeah.
Me ass.
I don't get it. Well, because, you know, listen, we're talking about usage.
Yeah.
Okay. And the first question of the press conference last night was about Michael King from Bob Scanlon. And again, if you watch Michael King throw last night, does he look tired? Does he look worn down? No, he's seemingly getting stronger. And that's what Bob Scanlon wanted to talk about. And, you know, I know there's a lot of communication between Mike Schilt and his players. Well, so I'm about to wrap it up. I'm about to hit the sack. And I just like, oh, I'll watch the presser. Well, I watched the presser. I went, holy smokes. What just happened? What's going on? Why is everyone mad? You have the audio?
I sure do.
No, this is unbelievable.
I mean, clearly you're using them because you feel comfortable, their pregame, whatever. Can you take us through kind of like, because it is a lot of work, especially for Suarez and Tanner, why you're comfortable with, is you're talking to them, they've done this before, why you're comfortable with these guys having gone as much as they have in the past week?
Well, they've not gone three in a row. They've had days away. Scott's been the guy that's been more of the day off pitch. You know, he's going 4 out of 5. Again, efficient. You know, Robert's had a couple days before that. It's really no different than we've done with anybody all year. So I don't, you know, we've had more, it's run together more, so it's more obvious to people, but it's not like it hasn't been done, if that helps answer your question. But to further explain your question, I think, is, yeah, it's constant communication. How do you feel? You need a day. We see how it's coming out. Again, these guys take care of themselves. Already explained a little bit about the efficiency. But we've got a chance to win ball games. We got guys in that are capable and able to pitch. They pitch.
How much would it help to have a 5-run lead?
Of course it would help. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say to that. Okay. Of course it would help.
Mike, this is a lot. Like, it's a lot. These high leverage guys having to go night and night out, and you're kind of like saying that it's not.
I didn't say it.
Or
Ace, you're putting words in my mouth.
Okay.
Oh, I'm pitching them accordingly to my experience in a communication with them. If you have exception with that, then of course, if it's a 5-0, I don't come here to argue with you.
Oh God,
I've already answered it very clearly for a minute. I don't know what more you want me to tell you that you're not hearing from me. I really don't. I've realized they pitched a lot. I've recognized it. I've given you the usage. Obviously, if it was 5-0, that would be better. It wasn't. We're winning games. I don't know what. I really have no idea what how to answer a question any better or clearer.
I was physically uncomfortable listening to that lesson. I think I know what Kevin was trying to say. And sometimes we in the media don't articulate it as good as we can. I think, you know, I was looking at the usage too. Nothing screams at me like these guys are going to be hanging. I think about all the data that we have, the comments from Tanner Scott's former manager that said, give him the ball. He wants the ball. He's not He's not. He's. There are certain guys that are like, I'll take it. I'll take it. And then there are certain guys that are like, I need a day. And I what I don't think is happening up there is Mike Schilt is calling down to the bullpen, and the guy's going, me? Oh, dude, I told him I needed. I don't think that's happening at all. And so, but I understand. I understand in this modern baseball, you're so careful. You have to be so careful because there is a huge stretch of games coming up. And you can, I don't know much, but I do know this. If Mike Schilt had a 5-0 lead in the ninth inning, he's elated. When's the last time that's happened? It's been a while. And he had, you know, he had used Suarez. I feel like they're, I actually feel like they're managing the arms pretty well right now. I was looking at some usage. Last three days, Tanner Scott's thrown 29 pitches. Jason Adams thrown 28. Suarez has thrown 28. Yuki's thrown 25. Brian Hoeing's thrown 24. Estrada's thrown 20. Sean Reynolds has thrown 16. Again, this is the last three days. And Adrian Morejon is down with the flu. He's thrown none.
Yeah, I'm not going to put any words in Mike Schilt's mouth because he doesn't like that. But I think clearly he knows that, all right, I'm going to probably use those three guys either last night or today.
Yeah.
One of the two, not both. And I've got them available. So, you know what? This is a good situation. I'm going to use them tonight.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if we saw any of them today.
As would I.
Tomorrow's an off day.
Correct.
So he knows they're getting at least two. Knows, maybe Friday they don't need them. They're getting some time off coming up here. You weren't going to not use them both of those days. So.
You got Yuki, you got Estrada, you got Sean Reynolds, and hopefully more home back. You should be fine.
We'll continue this discussion top of the hour. Back with more next here on 97.3 The Fan.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.